Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
Everybody ready? This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy, your born and raised Texas energy provider. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Thursday, noon hour, Central Time anyway. You should know the drill. Phil Steele and college football preview and a whole bunch of games to cover today. Phil, hi. I trust it's going well. I think the deepest schedule of significant games we've had this season. Let's get cracking. Tonight, U of H's prospective opponent in the American Championship game, Central Florida, 20-game winning streak. Temple started losing to Villanova and Buffalo, but is undefeated in the league. The Knights giving a little over 10 to the Owls.
Yeah, I'm probably leaning with the underdog in that one tonight. I think Temple will give them a game. You look at Temple's defense this year, they're holding opponents to 99 yards per game below their season average. That's 14th best in the country. And last year they started out slow, then really came on down the stretch. This year they started out slow again, and as you mentioned, undefeated in the AAC. And UCF in their last couple of games, I mean, you go back to the East Carolina game, they actually got outgained by 69 yards. The Memphis game, they were a big comeback win. Trailed that one 30-17 at the half. So watch Temple's defense. Watch Armstead at running back to be able to shrink the clock a little bit. And I think I like the underdog Temple to keep this one tight.
Well, the Owls sure have a shot to prove they're the best team in the conference. They're at UCF tonight and then a week from Saturday at U of H. To Saturday, dueling SEC divisional championship games basically, Phil, outright in the East. Kentucky, to me, is the top team story in the country. Not such a good season for Mike Stoops, for Mark Stoops, National Coach of the Year type candidate. Nevertheless, a home dog by 9 to Georgia.
Yeah, and this one's tough for me to call. I mean, if you look at the game along the line of scrimmage, I think Kentucky can definitely play with Georgia. You look at Kentucky all year long, they've been strong at the line of scrimmage. Georgia sort of got pushed around by Missouri, pushed around by LSU, and then Florida. Average 4.6 yards per carry against them. So I think Kentucky will be able to run the ball. They will be able to slow down that Georgia offense and play with them at the line of scrimmage. Georgia's advantages, I'll take the passing game of Georgia over Kentucky's pass game. And then the big game situation. Georgia played in the SEC title game, the national title game. They're used to big games like this. For Kentucky, it's probably the first big game in over a quarter of a century for them. So I think when you add it up, it's tough for me to call, but I do think Kentucky will make a great game of it.
All right, Phil, we'll hold off on Alabama, LSU until later. Build the drama.
Oh, they're playing this week?
They are, so we've heard. Let's go to Notre Dame, Northwestern. Boy, the Big Ten is really hoping the Wildcats can pull this one off, clear space for a Michigan or an Ohio State. Northwestern in command now of the Big Ten West race after taking care of Wisconsin. This outcome won't impact the Big Ten race. The Fighting Irish on the road, number 4 in the first playoff rankings. Notre Dame given 9.5.
Yeah, and I think you hit it right on the head. Northwestern's never been in a Big Ten championship game. This is clearly their shot to do it. And what they have to do to get there is beat Iowa next week. And they're off a big win over Wisconsin. And if they beat Iowa next week, it's Big Ten title game for Northwestern, basically. As all they'd have to do then is beat Minnesota and Illinois, and probably just one of them. This game, Notre Dame, is meaningless. They've got 3 losses on the season. It won't impact them in the playoff. Won't impact them any way you look at it. They are a tough team, but I go back to that Michigan game. They only lost to Michigan by 3, but they were actually outgained 376-202 in that game. Notre Dame comes in off some close games. The Navy game, not really that close. They were up 27-0 at the half. I just think the Irish are the better team and in the better situation. I mean, this game means a lot more to Notre Dame than it does to Northwestern.
Well, Michigan knows Alabama or LSU must lose on Saturday, so the Wolverines, certainly if it's LSU, maybe Alabama would only drop a couple spots if it lost a real close game in Baton Rouge. But the Wolverines laying double digits against Penn State.
And last year, Penn State was fresh off a bye, taking on a Michigan team that beat them soundly the previous year. Michigan came in, I think, on their fifth straight game, and Penn State ended up clobbering Michigan last year, 42-13. Well, this year, it's Michigan fresh off a bye, waiting for revenge, and Penn State clobbered them last year, and Penn State's off a big game against Iowa last week, where they barely escaped with a six-point win. Iowa got intercepted at the two-yard line late. McSorley got a little banged up, missed three series. I don't think he'll be fully 100% here, although he will start and will play and be close to that level. But this Michigan defense has just really impressed me all season long. It is the nation's best defense. They're holding opponents to 218 yards below their season average. You take a look at the games against Nebraska, Maryland, and Michigan State this year. All three games, they allowed less than 50 yards in the first half to those three opponents. So a great defense. The offense is coming along with Shea Patterson and Caron Higdon, and they're playing with legitimate revenge here. And even the Michigan State game, the last one on the road, they won 21-7. Michigan State's only score came after Michigan fumbled deep in their own territory. I like Michigan to win this one by double digits.
All right, Phil, out in Pac-12 country, I'm pretty sure the Rose Bowl's the Rose Bowl's the Rose Bowl. But a Washington State, Utah Pac-12 championship game, I don't think was on the fantasy list. Well, that's what we're on course for right now. I thought among the most interesting things, the first playoff rankings, Washington State at number 8. Now, of course, it has to win out and it'll need some help in terms of combination of results, but it's plausible for Mike Leach and the Cougars. Of course, it all goes up in smoke if they don't beat Cal. Cal just beat Washington. What do you think of those Northwest Cougars given 10?
You know, this week I like Washington State. I think they continue to go on their roll. You look at how they've played at home the last 2 years. They're unbeaten at home. Last year they beat foes by 20 points per game at home. This year they're beating them by 21 points per game. Love what Gardner Minshew is doing. 26-6 ratio, hitting 71% of his passes. And the defense playing better than expected, holding opponents to 65 yards per game below their season average. Now, Cal has a legitimate defense. They're giving up, allowing foes 101 yards per game below their season average, only 312 yards per game on the year. But offensively, they're struggling. I mean, McElwain was a turnover machine. They've gone to Chase Garbers at QB. Garbers is a steady quarterback, doesn't make a lot of big plays. But Cal's only touchdown last week came when Chris Peterson benched Jake Browning, brings in the backup quarterback, and he throws an interception return for a touchdown. Cal gets a TD. Cal gets the win. I think with that lack of offense in the Palouse, I got to like Washington State this week. I don't think it'll be a blowout with Cal's defense, but it was, should be a Washington State win by a couple, by double digits.
You think Utah's going on to win the Pac-12 South, starting with winning at Arizona this week?
Yeah, and Arizona State is a tricky team because they've got the triplets. Eno Benjamin at running back, averaging 5.7 yards per carry. Manny Wilkins at QB can hurt you running or passing. In fact, passing, he's got 12-2 ratio this year. And then N'Keal Harry is probably the number one wide receiver picked in next year's draft, and he's a dangerous return man as well. So the triplets are there. It's at night. It's in the desert. So those advantages all in Arizona State's favor. But Utah's got the better defense, and I like their run game as well with Zach Moss. In fact, the first three games of the year, they average about 35 carries per game. They've upped it to 50 carries per game over the last five. The offense has gotten a lot better. Tyler Huntley has become a better quarterback with that solid run game, and Utah's got one of the best special teams in the country. Right now, they're just mowing down opponents, so I'm not jumping in front of this Utah steamroller, but Arizona State will give them a game. I think it's one where Utah wins it by about a touchdown.
Yeah, I think I said Zona. You covered it. It's Arizona State. Utah wiped the field with Sumlin's Wildcats earlier this year. Disappointment bowl of the Pac-12 North, Washington or Stanford?
I got to go with Washington. And, you know, you look at Washington's losses on the year, the close one to Auburn, the missed field goal against Oregon, and then last week the interception by the backup quarterback. Stanford, meanwhile, normally you know Stanford for having a great defense. Stanford's defense this year is actually allowing opponents 15 yards above their season average. Washington still has a top-notch D, holding opponents to 106 yards per game below their season average. They're at home, and I think Washington probably throws a wrench into the Pac-12 championship plans of Washington State when that Apple Cup rolls around, but that's 3 weeks from now.
ACC game, Boston College, the last hope to stop Clemson from steamrolling through regular season, I mean. Virginia Tech with Virginia. That could be the biggest Hokie game in a long time. Boston College, a small favorite in Blacksburg.
Yeah, you know, when I went over the team with defense coordinator Bud Foster this year, going over that defense, they were extremely young, and I thought he was going to have his hands full this year. Then they suffered some deletions, a couple of cornerbacks, a linebacker, all gone prior to the season. And what's happened? Well, they're actually allowing opponents 40 yards per game above their season average. I think Bud Foster's doing a phenomenal job with how young and inexperienced this defense is. But they're taking on a Boston College offense. It's got a great offensive line. A.J. Dillon is back at running back, and he's averaging 5.8 yards per carry despite missing a couple of games this year. And I look for him to be even healthier here. And B.C.'s got a legitimate defense right now, holding foes below their season average by a good amount, and just 54% completions. I think Boston College is the stronger team, and even on the road, this one's not at night, so I don't think the situational edge VT has or Enter Sandman will have as big of an effect here in the middle of the afternoon. I like Boston College to go on the road and get the win there.
Richard set up a huge game next week, Clemson at Boston College. We grab our little version of halftime, come back, another full board of games to address with Phil, Big 12, A&M Auburn, U of H should have it easy, and oh my gosh, it's not a typo, Rice is favored. Back half of our Thursday college football preview to come. A message here for Texas Citizens Bank. Full service banking, personal, also business. In fact, at Texas Citizens Bank, they're independent. They're locally owned, so they truly are invested in what's good for Houston business. They have a specialization, in fact, in commercial banking assistance. Small business, growing, large corporations. They are full serve. But in the area of SBA loans, small business assistance, Texas Citizens Bank ranks near the top of Houston ratings ahead of a number of the national mega banks. So whether it's a line of credit, funding new equipment, facilities expansion, check with Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of Gow Media since the company was formed here more than a decade ago. Six Houston area branch locations. You can pinpoint yours, get all kinds of other information, and best, get started at TexasCitizensBank.com. TexasCitizensBank.com for Texas Citizens Bank, true local relationship banking. Get in, you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Just before we resume with Alabama LSU, you can find Phil's work in a host of locations. Spell some of them out, Phil.
I appreciate that, Charlie. As always, you can get my top plays of the week on ESPN.com/Phil Steele. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also get my Vegas power ratings. They differ from the AP power ratings, but they're the ones that you can tell by what the lines are each week that the Vegas power ratings are what Vegas uses. Then you can go to PhilSteele.com on Friday morning and get my Phil Steele Plus Tour, 25-11-1 over the last 4 weeks. Get that tour for free. That's PhilSteele.com. And finally, go to InsideThePressBox.com and you get all 60 of my selections for this week, my computer's forecast, my forecast, and it's 50% off this week if you type in the code word touchdown. That is at InsideThePressBox.com, InsideThePressBox.com, 50% off this week, $20 off any seasonal package.
All right, Phil, number one, Alabama, number three, LSU. Saturday night at Tiger Stadium, 14.5, 15, seems like a whole bunch of points. But my God, Alabama's been a machine. Granted, only played one ranked opponent so far this year. Its closest game of the year, 45-23 against Texas A&M. The Devin White suspension. How do you see LSU's defense holding up against the Tour juggernaut? And then the other side, to me, that's the problem. I have Joe Burrow for a couple of interceptions. Can LSU score to hang in the game?
Yeah, and I think you hit a lot of the topics right on the number there. I think when you look at Alabama, they've been a first-half team all season. Usually put the starters on the bench for the majority of the second half. And taking on the LSU defense without Devin White, I think Alabama will be able to do some damage in that first half and get the lead. And then when you look at LSU, they're a team that offensively, I mean, defensively they're right there with Alabama, but not so much offensively. In fact, you know, while the run game's good, it's not up to Alabama standards at either the offensive line or the running backs. Huge edge at quarterback, Tua versus Joe Burrow. Burrow's an outstanding quarterback, great game manager, but a 6-3 ratio this year. And so I think Alabama does have the edges. And you brought up Texas A&M. You know, my power ratings have Texas A&M and LSU pretty similar at this point, very close. And while this is in Death Valley and at night, they're going to get their absolute best game out of LSU. It's also going to probably be the first time Alabama's completely charged up for a game. They haven't really had one all season. So you're going to get Alabama's A++ game as well. And in that Texas A&M game, a team I find similar to LSU, they led 45-16 into the fourth quarter. And Tua may play all four quarters here. What the heck is that offense going to do with the starters playing all four quarters? I'm actually going with Alabama here. I'm going to Alabama 37-17.
Wow. To the Big 12, Phil. Oklahoma, well-positioned now, atop the Big 12, number 7 in the playoff rankings, giving 13.5 at Texas Tech.
That offense is scary. Ever since they trailed Texas by 3 touchdowns, and boy, they scored 3 touchdowns in like 5 minutes on the Texas defense to tie it. Ended up losing that one by 3, but have blown out their last 2 foes. Ruffin McNeil doing a great job now, taking over the defense. The last 2 weeks, they've held their opponents to 135 yards per game below their season average. So Oklahoma operating on all cylinders. And while I really like Texas Tech this year and what they've been doing, I just don't think they're up in Oklahoma's stratosphere at this point. Played a good game against Iowa State, but I like Oklahoma to win this one by more than 2 touchdowns.
Phil, Baylor's chasing bowl eligibility. It sure seems like a letdown spot for Oklahoma State after flat-out outplaying and beating Texas in Stillwater. Cowboys giving 7.5 in Waco.
Yeah, I like the underdog there, Baylor, to possibly pull the upset. I know, you know, look at the last time Baylor took on somebody in a letdown spot. It was Texas coming off that big win against Oklahoma. And Baylor led a good portion of that game, ended up losing it by 6. Oklahoma State not only is off a huge, massive effort against Texas at home, where they pulled out all the stops, they've got Bedlam on deck next week. So this is a sandwich game as well. Add it all up. I like Baylor's chances of pulling the upset at home this week.
All right, Phil, 3 weeks or so back, UCLA won, then Nebraska won, San Jose State has even won. That leaves the UTEP Miners as the only 0-for-the-season team in FBS. Well, they get the Rice Owls this week. Rice actually a favorite. It's only win at the gun over Prairie View, Stupor Bowl, Toilet Bowl, whatever you want to call it. Rice, the weather will be beautiful at Rice Stadium, basically a pick 'em versus UTEP.
Yeah, and both teams have this one circled as a possible victory. And, you know, I actually like the way UTEP's been playing as of late, despite the fact they come in with a winless record. They outgained UTSA. They were only outgained by North Texas by 11 yards, outgained Louisiana Tech. And last week against UAB, while they struggled against that UAB defense, their defense played pretty well. So UTEP playing good, but they'll be down to their third-string quarterback here. Both Metz and Loxley are out. Rice is at home, and last week's game against North Texas, if you look at the final score, you see 41-17, and you think, wow, what an utter blowout. But that game was 17-17 with a minute to go in the third quarter. UNT got a field goal to go ahead 20-17 and then had some plays in the fourth quarter to blow it out, including a 14-yard touchdown after a turnover. So I think Rice has that potential. If there's any team that Rice is going to beat this year, I don't see him getting past Louisiana Tech or LSU on the road the next 2 weeks, so I'm going to call for Rice to actually get a victory this week.
All right, Phil, Houston Cougars off soundly dispatching South Florida. Any risk at all? 14.5-point favorites at 3-5 SMU.
I like Houston this week. You watch their offense going with the East Carolina and Navy game, and even last week, you just pretty much expect them to score every single time they have the ball. And while SMU's got some yards going this year in CUSA play or in American Conference play, sorry about that, 331 yards per game offensively. So they're not on par to match with Houston's offense. Houston will come in focused for this. I like Houston to win this one by more than two touchdowns.
All right, Phil, to the Aggies, Texas A&M at 5-3 at Auburn, which has just been wildly inconsistent this season. The number has come down. Last I saw, Auburn favored on the Plains by 4.
I think the wrong team's favored in this game. I've been watching the two teams all season long. You look at my individual game grades at philsteele.com, and Texas A&M comes in at 101.3, number 10 in the country. Auburn, 92.6, number 39 in the country. And Auburn, the problem with Auburn, they need to have the run game going to win. And their run game struggled against Tennessee, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, and they looked non-impressive. Then they've got the Ole Miss defense, which allows everybody's run game to thrive. And Auburn thrived again. They won that game 31-16. They're not back. They're taking on a tough defense this week. And you look at A&M, while they gave up 143 yards last week, they really had only allowed 67 yards rushing to Mississippi State. And then they threw an interception in the end zone. Mississippi State gets a 74-yard touchdown run by Fitzgerald when they're tackling the football at the end of the game to get to that side. I don't think Auburn can run the ball, which means they won't be successful. I do like the balance A&M has. And I like A&M to win the game. I think they're the stronger team. And even this has been a visitor-dominated series as well.
All right, Phil, nationally, this game has lost its significance. Texas and West Virginia, the Mountaineers lost at Iowa State, the Longhorns falling at Oklahoma State. But within the Big 12, it's still a three-way tie, UT, OU, and WVU, who's basically out of it after Saturday. The Longhorns, pretty much a pick'em game, favored by 2 over West Virginia.
Yeah, and the winner, most likely going to be playing Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, and the loser, most likely going home. And I like Texas, though. I mean, Texas last week went into a beehive against Oklahoma State. They didn't have their top two cornerbacks for that first quarter. That was a disaster. They gave up about 250 yards in the first quarter. They get their top two cornerbacks back, and the rest of the game they allowed 250 yards. But they were in too deep of a hole, couldn't overcome it, ended up losing to Oklahoma State. Now they're back at home. I got to feel Tom Herman feels like Texas is an underdog for this one, with West Virginia coming in with just one loss. And we know that Tom Herman pulls upsets as a home underdog. And the other factor, you look at West Virginia's last road game. They went into Iowa State and only put up 152 yards. It was a beatdown by the Cyclones. I think Texas rebounds this week and pulls out a close win.
All right, Phil, just before we wrap it up, ESPN Insider, etc.
Appreciate that, Charlie. To get my plays for this week and also the Vegas power ratings, just head over to ESPN.com/Phil Steele. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele to get the top five plays for this week, to get all 60 of my selections for this week, and my computer's 60 forecasts, including the yards rushing, yards passing, and points. Go to InsideThePressBox.com. That's InsideThePressBox.com. When you go there, type in the code word touchdown. You'll get 50% off this week's newsletters or $20 off any season package. And finally, tomorrow morning, head over to PhilSteele.com and check out the Phil Steele Plus Tour. You'll get 8 or 9 free plays, 25-11-1 the last 4 weeks. So check that out, philsteele.com, Friday morning.
All right, Phil, I'm hoping for a one-word answer. I'll cope. I'll cope if necessary. It's a two-word answer, but Syracuse or Wake Forest?
Syracuse.
Attaboy. Well, if you're right, attaboy. Hey, appreciate it. Great schedule of games. Enjoy, and we catch up next Thursday.
Sounds great, Charlie. Always enjoy the conversation. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Phil Steele, another week's college football preview in the books. If you caught it halfway, want to hear the rest of it? That's what the podcasts are for, after the fact, posted at about 1:15. Need a break at the bottom of the hour. A little something different in the next segment. Talking about Babe Ruth with, New York Times bestselling author who has the Babe Ruth book out. Trying to sell some books. Hope it's interesting. I know I will find it interesting. I guess if you're thinking, whatever, baseball, you're excused. Just be back at 1 for the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5 or Stephen A. Smith Show on Sports Map 94.1. Minute here for Bill Advisor, talking about their own home insurance service, right? Cover their full array savings they offer earlier. They now directly shoot you a home insurance offer, and you get it in truly a matter of seconds, about 15 seconds, in fact, once you follow a couple of quick steps. Simply text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. You'll hear back from Bill Advisor. Need your home address. Send that, and then in about 15 seconds' time, you will get texted back with real coverage terms, real insurance, just really, really fast, faster than it has ever been done before. There is no obligation as you text them. Why not? See how much Bill Advisor can save you on your home insurance premiums. Their average customer, about 4 months in now with this, saving about $800 per year. Text MONEY to 232323, MONEY to 232323 for home insurance directly via Bill Advisor. Let them know you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1. She's on a straight and narrow, I'm guessing all the time.
I can see the road. We ready? From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.